Welcome to the Jonah Carey Show, friends. This Friday and every Friday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, CBSSports.com, the CBS Sports app, and all OTT devices. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's go right away to our top story of the week, and that is the Colorado Rockies. Friends, I have a very serious question for you. Can you smell what the Rockies are cooking? Because they are on fire. The Colorado Rockies, first place in the NL West, my adopted hometown of Denver, celebrating in the streets. Yes, it's mid-May, but you know what? This is the Colorado Rockies. We'll take what we could get. This is a team that's been below 500 for the last several seasons. They've had a very difficult franchise history, but playing very good baseball, 7 of their last 10. And when you look at it, we have to start with their pitching. Let's look at the bullpen first, and we got to talk about two major veteran free agents. Mike Dunn, the left-hander, he's been great, but Greg Holland is really the focus here. Greg Holland, 15 saves, leads the National League, and he's been absolutely devastating. He's basically a two-pitch pitcher, fastball, slider, but man, nobody can hit either of these pitches. Get this, Greg Holland fastball, opponents are hitting 167. Greg Holland slider, opponents are hitting 175. They can't hit the guy. He's been devastating. No home runs allowed throughout the season in Coors Field, which of course gives up lots of home runs. Tribute to the Rockies for really recognizing talent. Here's a guy who was a linchpin of those Kansas City Royals teams in 2014 and 15, has Tommy John surgery. The Rockies are able to pick him up cheap, and he's been just an absolutely huge addition. Another magnificent bargain is Mark Reynolds. Mark Reynolds is only guaranteed $1.5 million this year. The dude is trying to make a run for the Triple Crown. He's been unbelievable. And if you consider Mark Reynolds' track record, here's a guy who hit below 200 a few years ago in Arizona. This year, absolutely on fire. He's hitting 339, 411 on base, 669 slugging. He ranks among the league leaders in home runs, RBI, batting average, OBP, slugging. You name it, he's been absolutely dynamite. And really, there's a lot of stuff going on, but the thing to point to with Mark Reynolds is a change in his approach. What's happening is, number one, he's not striking out as much, so that's been tremendous. He was a high strikeout hitter, which made it difficult for him, obviously, to hit for high average. He's been able to do that this season. But the second thing is that he's pulling the ball a ton, more than at any time in his entire career. His pull rate this season is almost 56%. So basically what he's doing, he's saying, the easiest thing to do in Coors Field is just bash the ball and don't even worry about finesse. I try to hit it that way because I have a chance to hit it out of the ballpark, or at least hit it for doubles and triples, or doubles certainly, and he's been able to do that. Reynolds has emerged as a potent power hitter, just a plug-in guy really, but at this point you have to play him every day. Despite the return of Ian Desmond, David Dahl could be back, you have to give Reynolds a lot of time. And the third plank of this Rockies team, which has been really successful, is their starting pitching. Take a look at this. In their last 9 games, the Colorado Rockies starting pitchers, and they play in Coors Field, don't forget, a 2.70 ERA. Germán Márquez, who was probably their worst pitcher this season, he almost pitched a no-hitter the other day. 6 no-hit innings against the defending champion Chicago Cubs. They've been getting good contributions from Chatwood, from Anderson, and they're going to get reinforcements too. John Gray, who's arguably the ace of the staff, he's on the disabled list with a toe injury. He should be back by month's end. This really sets up well for the Rockies right now. Everything is clicking for them. They have been tremendous. And here's the stat that really, really kills me. Colorado Rockies, you have to adjust, obviously, for that ballpark. You have to think about what Coors Field does to ERA and all that stuff. By park-adjusted ERA, which literally takes ERA, makes the adjustment for how difficult the park is or how easy it is to pitch in, the Colorado Rockies are the second-best pitching team in all of baseball when you take the rotation and the bullpen. It's been something to watch. A lot of young guys emerging, a lot of rookies like Kyle Freeman, Antonio Centinella. They've been great. But the Rockies right now, the lead story in all of baseball. Who would have thunk it? All right, let's go on to our next story, and that is the New York Mets. And I wish I had better news here, but Jerry's Familia, just the latest in what has been a very, very difficult season for the Mets. Familia was announced as an arterial clot in his right pitching shoulder. What does that mean for him? Well, he might be out for a little while. We're waiting to see. We don't know whether he's going to go on the disabled list. If so, for how long? But it's just the latest blow for this team. Familia, if he is out, would be replaced by Addison Reed. Pretty good right-hander. That can help their bullpen. But it cuts into the depth that they don't necessarily have in the bullpen. And if you get beyond Familia and you start talking about the rest of the team, let's look at this just list. It's been terrible. Noah Syndergaard, who's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, he's on the DL. He's out for a while. Yoenis Cespedes is out. David Wright obviously hasn't been playing. They just have so many guys on the DL. Steven Matz, Seth Lugo. We could keep going and reciting these names ad infinitum. It's actually a tribute to the Mets that they've been able to play pretty competitive baseball, considering how incredibly hard hit they've been by this. They just cannot seem to catch a break. That's been the difficult part for the New York Mets. Familia is just the latest. He was suspended earlier in the season. Now he's going to sit out with this injury. Not good news at all for the Mets, a struggling team right now in the NL East with all of these injuries. All right, let us move on to one of our favorite segments every week. It is Jonah's one-word take. Here's how the one-word take works. There's a story within the world of baseball. I weigh in with one word to describe my feelings about it. And eventually, we'll put in some other words too, but we need to kind of get in that one word to start off. All right, and we will start off by talking about the Matt Harvey saga. Speaking of the Mets, obviously a big mess. Matt Harvey over the weekend did not show up to the ballpark on Saturday. It was the day after Cinco de Mayo. Of course, you could argue, oh, well, Harvey was probably irresponsible. This happened, that happened. Gets suspended, ends up sitting out for one start. He's going to be back and he will be pitching. But my one-word take on this, paternalism. And I will tell you what I mean by paternalism. Paternalism simply means if you've got a power, authority, comes in and tries to crack down on somebody and does it excessively, oversteps. That's the issue with paternalism. The New York Mets did this. Yes, Matt Harvey might have been out partying. Yes, there might have been some situations where things were occurring that wasn't great off the field. But ideally, you have to treat players like adults. For the Mets to reportedly come to his house, check in on him in that way, it just doesn't make any sense. The way that they handled the announcement of the suspension, we didn't know what it was. There was talk about, how can I say this delicately, a device used for recreational purposes that was in the dugout that maybe Harvey was involved in before. There were all these rumors swirling around. We didn't know what it was. And ultimately turned out to be something pretty minor. The Mets totally bungled this thing from top to bottom. So not a great look for the Mets and not a great look for Matt Harvey either, to be honest. All right, our second one-word take of the week, it has to do with Big Poppy versus Bobby Valentine. And Big Poppy comes out in his new book and he absolutely rips Bobby Valentine. He says, this guy's terrible, was a horrible manager. And my one word take on this, whatever. Bobby Valentine, in fact, said whatever verbatim. Somebody asked him about this. He was appeared on radio and they said, hey, Bobby, so what's the deal? David Ortiz, your former player, is out there ripping you to shreds, saying you're a bad manager, you didn't communicate. What's the deal? He goes, whatever. I hope it helps the guy sell some books. We should all be like Bobby Valentine. If somebody's going to come at you and say all these nasty things about you and just do that, it's them that ends up looking bad. It's not you. I appreciate Bobby Valentine's zen here. Maybe Ortiz is right, maybe he's not right. But the fact that Valentine is saying, good for him, I hope he sells a zillion books, that's great. We should all live so peacefully. I like that a lot. All right, our next topic on One Word Take. This is, just watch the video. This is unbelievable. But basically, our one word take on this is LOLOL. That's all I'm gonna say about this. A cheater on the base paths is what occurred at Dawson Community College in Montana, where we've got a suicide squeeze attempt, and we see one guy score from third base. The runner from second base comes around, skips third base, and just runs straight home. Nobody saw this because obviously the umpiring in the Community College League in Montana for Dawson College is not necessarily all that strong, but you've got to appreciate the hustle and a little bit of bending the rules here. I've seriously watched this clip 20 times. I cannot stop laughing about this. So all the LOLs for this one. So normally we do 3 one-word takes a week, that's it. But we're going to do a bonus one because we're just breaking news, relatively speaking. It is that the Mets are discussing promoting Tim Tebow, that he might go up a level. And my one-word take on this, I still don't care about Tim Tebow. Before I didn't care about Tim Tebow, I still don't care about him right now. Listen, fine, if the guy wants to play, I don't begrudge him. It's not a problem or anything like that. But the fact that we're scrutinizing every single thing, he's being promoted from low A ball to slightly higher A ball. He's still playing against teenagers. He's pushing 30. I'm happy for him. It's a nice story. He's a good athlete and all that stuff. If he makes the majors, that would be great. Let's wait until he actually gets to the point where he might actually make the majors. The fact that we're sitting here worrying about low A ball, which nobody has ever cared about ever, except for like prospect hounds and the serious goons who get involved in the sport. Beyond that, whatever, just let him play. And it's enough about Tebow. I don't care about Tebow. We're done with Tebow. All right. When we come back on the Jonah Carey Show, we will have much more, including Stockwatch, where we will look at which teams are up and down in the world of baseball. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Jonah Carey Show, friends. It is time for our next segment, which is Stockwatch. Here's how Stockwatch works. Very simple. We look at which teams are up or down in the world of baseball. We will start with the teams on the upside, starting with the hottest team in all of baseball right now, How about the St. Louis Cardinals? The St. Louis Cardinals have won 6 games in a row. They're 16-5 in their last 21 games. After starting the season 3-9 and looking really lousy, they're now in first place in the NL Central. A little bit of a surprise considering all the hype around the Cubs, for good reason, the defending champions. But the Cardinals have been there for years. I mean, they have been an effective team. They've developed their own prospects. They've been doing it for a while. And one guy who's been key for them this year, not a guy developed by the Cardinals, but one who that they bought low on, who's been great so far, Jed Jerko, the Jork star called, and said, hey, he's been hitting the cover off the ball. If you look at Jerko this season, absolutely dynamite. He's hitting .351. He's slugging .639. He's been among the league leaders in both of those categories. So should we expect Jed Jerko to absolutely destroy the ball every single day for the rest of the season? Probably not, and I'll tell you why. Batting average on balls in play. It means if you hit the ball in play and it doesn't go over the fence, does it get caught or not? Yes, there's some issues with hard contact or soft contact as far as where it goes, but for the most part, this is something that tends to gravitate somewhere around league average. League average is above 290, just a little above 290. Jerko's at 424, 424 batting average on balls in play. That tells us that he's probably been quite fortunate. That's the highest mark in the entire National League. He's never hit at that level anytime before, so I do like Jerko. Here's the good news for the Cardinals, though. Even if Jerko regresses, the Cardinals' outfield has been really bad. And we know that these guys can actually hit. Steven Piscotty, Randall Grichuk, and Dexter Fowler, all capable hitters. They're all down this year. Fowler should be back in the lineup very soon. He's been dealing with a sore shoulder. Piscotty could be back soon. Once we see those guys regulate, that could actually bode well for more Cardinals success. So we'll see how that goes. All right, our next team on the upside is the Seattle Mariners. The Seattle Mariners suddenly playing better baseball. They're 6-4 in their last 10, starting to get it together a little bit. Second place in the AL West. And the guy to watch here is somebody who's actually not pitching right now, but we expect him back. We've talked about him before on this show. Big Maple. Big Maple James Paxton. He's called Big Maple because he's Canadian. As a large Canadian myself, I absolutely love this. And Paxton has been absolutely dynamite this season. You look at some of his numbers, they are among the best in the league. You're talking about a guy who's striking out almost 11 batters per 9 innings. That ranks among the top in the league. And he's got a 1.43 ERA. So where did James Paxton come from? Well, we see at his underlying numbers, if you look at last season by fielding independent pitching, he was actually one of the best pitchers in the league at 2.80. He really was tremendous. Again, striking out a lot of guys. He had good command. The issue was he could never stay healthy. So the hope right now is that this current injury doesn't last long. We don't want this to linger because Paxton, when he has pitched, has been absolutely dynamite. Here's a guy who's young, very good, 28 years old, coming into his own. He's got a chance to be the ace of a staff. Used to be Felix Hernandez. It now could be Paxton. The Mariners are starting to get it together a little bit. Big Maple could be a big key why. Our next one on the upside is an AL West leader, actually the best team in all of baseball in terms of record, and that is the Houston Astros. The Astros 8-10 in their 8-2 in their last 10. They're in first place in the AL West, and as I said, best record in all of baseball. Lots of guys contributing. They got contributions from the lineup, hitters, bullpen's been really good. But we need to talk about Dallas Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel is absolutely killing it. If you look at 2015, here's a guy who was the Cy Young winner 2 years ago, and didn't do it with devastating velocity necessarily. Here's a guy who throws about 90 miles an hour with that fastball, but the location, it's just so on point. He paints and he paints. He's got Tom Glavine in him a little bit. 2016, he regresses dramatically. His ERA bumps up by 2 runs, and now he's back this season. A 1.69, very nice ERA. He's been excellent. Some of it is a little bit of good luck, certainly. He stranded a lot of the guys that he's left on base. His 91.7% strand rate is one of the highest in all of baseball. That's going to regulate a little bit. But how about the ground ball rate? 64.4% of the balls hit in play against Dallas Keuchel are ground balls. That is the highest for any starting pitcher in baseball. So again, you're not getting a guy who's overpowering necessarily, but nobody can square this guy up because he locates and he moves it all around the zone. He's been absolutely tremendous. So Keuchel, if he could continue this pace, would bode very well for an Astros team looking to break that Texas Rangers streak of division titles. They're well positioned to do that. A very, very good team in the AL West. On the downside, yeah, we do have to talk about the bad news as well. And we will start with the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves 2-8 in their last 10, and they have been fighting it. There's no question about it. And look, it's a rebuilding process. They're last in the division. We get all that. But the good news here is they do have a franchise player, and that is Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman, man. I mean, he doesn't get enough attention. You look at Trout and Harper and Kershaw. Let's throw Manny Machado in there. Probably the big four in baseball, you could argue, in terms of the best players. We need to talk about Freddie Freeman in the same breath. Freddie Freeman right now is hitting 336. 457 on base and a 743 slugging. That is a 1200 OPS. That is Bonzian. The guy has been absolutely killer. And the Braves basically made a conscious decision. They had two very good homegrown players in Jason Hayward and Freddie Freeman. They had to decide what to do with those two guys. They opted to leave Hayward, to let Hayward leave. He goes to the Chicago Cubs for $184 million. I have to say, despite the fact the Cubs won the World Series, that is not a good contract. The guy hasn't been able to hit very much. But Freddie Freeman has emerged as an absolutely devastating hitter. No matter where you throw it in the strike zone, you can't get this guy out. He's got great play coverage. He hits for power. One of the best batting eyes in all of baseball. So yes, the Braves are going to struggle for a little bit, but they've got Freeman, and that counts for something. Also on the downside, the Chicago White Sox, who started the season very hot. They were looking good. They were atop the AL Central at one point, but 2-8 in their last 10, now sitting in fourth place. And the guy we need to talk about here, he hasn't performed all that well, but he's the guy to look at, is Jose Quintana. He's their de facto staff ace, the left-hander. After Chris Sale got traded, Adam Eaton got traded, Quintana became the big trade chip. He's sitting on a 4.46 ERA. His fielding independent numbers are pretty similar. He's been okay this season, 22% strikeout rate. But here's the thing with Quintana. It's about his contract status. He has one of the most affordable contracts for any very good, normally very good, starting pitcher in all of baseball. The expectation here is he will get traded because they can get a potential haul for him the way that they did for Chris Sale when they got Yoan Moncada and the way that they did for Adam Eaton when they got a bunch of young pitching from the Nationals. Look for Quintana to potentially be marketed very soon, assuming that the White Sox, again, continue to win games, which after a hot start probably get to happen. They're not that good a team. And finally on the downside, it's the Pittsburgh Pirates. I wish I had better news about the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're a likable team. They have a great ballpark. There's lots to appreciate about this franchise, but they're fighting it this year. They're 3-7 in their last 10. They're sitting in dead last in the NL Central, unfortunately. But here's the guy I'm going to give a shout out to in this case, and we're just going to offer best wishes. It's Jameson Taillon. Again, we talk about Canadians, another very talented Canadian pitcher, one of the best in the league when he's healthy. Unfortunately, he is sidelined right now with a case of testicular cancer. There's no advanced stats. There's no smart alecky stuff here. Just want to wish our best to Taillon. He's one of my favorite young pitchers in all of baseball. And he came out on Twitter and offered this very encouraging message, which was very nice. And he basically said, listen, you know, all right, this has happened and I'll deal with it and I'll move on. I encourage you to check out that message on Twitter and to wish the best for Taillon, one of the great young stars in all of baseball. Let's hope that it works out. All right, so on the upside, again, we will review. We've got three teams that are looking good right now. That's the St. Louis Cardinals. They are atop the NL Central. They've been great. Seattle Mariners starting to make their way back into the mix. If Paxton comes back soon, that'll help. And the Houston Astros, the best team in all of baseball. Wow, how about that? Astros absolutely dominating in the AL West. On the downside, Atlanta Braves, they're in last place in the NL East. We kind of expected it. But Freddie Freeman, awesome. We can appreciate Freddie Freeman and watch him and enjoy him. We've also got the Chicago White Sox on the downside. That sets up trade possibilities as we start to get closer to Memorial Day and beyond. Jose Quintana becomes a big trade chip. And also on the downside, the Pittsburgh Pirates. And again, we're shouting out our friend Jameson Taillon. We wish him nothing but the best. All right, let us go to our next segment, and that is Nerd Alert. Friends, let's talk about Alex Wood. I love Alex Wood. He has been pitching tremendously. You look at the Los Angeles Dodgers, they were looking for quality pitching behind Clayton Kershaw, and they manipulated the rotation. Julio Urias was probably ready for the big leagues while they leave him in the minors, and Brandon McCarthy gets a phantom DL stint, and all this stuff is swirling around because what they want to do is they want to get about 170, 180 innings from each of these guys. But if you're looking for the pitcher who might emerge as the number two starter on this staff, Alex Wood is potentially your guy. He has been absolutely dynamite. You take a look at some of the advanced stats. And by the way, shout out to Nick Pollock at thepitcherlist.com for coming up and helping us with our Alex Wood feature, which is in today's edition of Carry the 10 at cbssports.com. But for more on those numbers, let's take a look at what's going on here. So strikeouts per nine innings, he's sixth in all of baseball. You talk about his ground ball rate, how about 62.2% ground ball rate? Again, we talked about Dallas Keuchel, 64% of the balls in play against Keuchel are going for ground balls. With Wood, it's about 62%, sixth highest in all of baseball. That combination of great strikeout rate and great ground ball rate, what are you going to do if you're a hitter? If you can't hit the ball most of the time, and when you do, you bang it into the ground, Those are the ingredients for an elite pitcher. He's been great. Fielding independent pitching, 191. He's fifth in the league in that. And soft contact rate, pretty simple. If you hit the ball hard versus if you hit the ball soft, Alex Wood, the 10th highest soft contact rate as well. So we've got a lot of factors working in his favor here. You look at some of the other advanced stats, his whiff rate has been really good too. His ability to make guys swing and miss, it's gone from about 8% 2 years ago to more than 11% this year. And here's the big difference. Here's what's happened. We've explained the stats, but here's the difference maker with Alex Wood. He's always a guy who's had pretty good secondary stuff. He's got that knuckle curve and he's got the changeup. But his fastball was just okay. It was about 90 miles an hour. Well, he's bumped up the velocity on his fastball almost 3 miles this year. He's throwing about 93 miles an hour this season. And when you consider what that does, he's had pitches where a couple of years ago, he leaves it in the middle of the plate and it just gets hit for a home run because it's 90 and it's straight and it's over the plate. But more and more what we're seeing this season is even when he's not pinpoint on his command, when he throws it over the middle of the plate, it's 93, 94, and suddenly guys are swinging and missing. I encourage you to check out the column at cbssports.com, Carry the 10. It talks more about Alex Wood. But man, just that ability to have that great repertoire with different pitches, and suddenly his fastball is really popping. He's a really exciting pitcher and gives the Dodgers a really good chance. Who knows? This could be a Rockies-Dodgers race for the ages in the NL West. That would be a lot of fun. All right. So let's talk about our next one. Before we let you go, we got to talk about this weekend in baseball. So this weekend in baseball, we like to look at what's going on, what should we expect, and that is the Houston Astros versus the New York Yankees. The series got underway last night with the Astros and the Yankees doing battle with two best teams right now in the American League. Feels weird to say that, the Astros and the Yankees, but they've both been very, very good. And if you look at some of the young pitching this weekend, that's what gets me really excited. Lance McCullers is going to go for the Houston Astros. Man, he's got that power changeup that is really, really good. He's extremely tough to hit. And we're also going to see this weekend Luis Severino. God, I love Luis Severino. That slider just pops. It's such a devastating pitch, the fastball slider combination. Nobody can hit the slider. He's got a batting average allowed on that thing well below 200. That bodes well for the Yankees as well. We talk about Aaron Judge and the Baby Bombers and so forth, but Severino's emergence has been a big story for that team. So watch out for both of those things as we go forward with this Yankees-Astros series. And also watch out, we have to talk about, listen, I mean, we have to, whether you're a fan of this guy or not, we got to talk about Derek Jeter night that's coming up this weekend as well. The Yankees will honor Derek Jeter. They will retire his number, another one of those single-digit numbers, of course, Ruth and Gehrig and DiMaggio, Mantle and Barra and so on. And Derek Jeter is going to get that honor too. And it's going to be great. It'll be a lot of fun, a lot of pageantry. Even if you're a hater, you can turn it on and hate watch it if you want to. But Jeter, obviously a magnificent career with New York, that great Yankees dynasty in the 90s. He'll get his just due this weekend. Tip the cap to the captain. We salute you, Derek Jeter. Friends, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Jonah Carey Show. Tune in this Friday, every Friday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, cbssports.com, the CBS Sports app, all OTT devices. Thanks so much for tuning in.